7624, which is, who is speaking? Prahlad Maharaj speaking to whom? To his classmates, right? So yesterday, what's the name of the Mataji who gave lecture yesterday? Nanda Prabhu? Okay. So yesterday, Nanda Prabhu gave lecture on the first verse of this chapter, which was about what? What was the point of one should engage in devotional service? Why? There was particular emphasis to why this. What's that? Even slight amount of devotional service, that's correct. And then also there is some urgency about utilizing human form of life because it's temporary, but then also it's said it's very difficult to attain human form of life. Okay? So these were one of the reasons that we should focus on devotional service. Now, so let's go right into the verse today. But I want to do the synonyms first. Okay, so please repeat after me. Tasmat, therefore, sarveshu, to all, bhuteshu, living entities, dayam, mercy, kuruta, show, saukridam, friendliness, bhavam, the attitude, asuram, of the demons, who separate friends and enemies, ummucha, giving up, yaya, by which, tushyati, is satisfied, Adokshajaha, the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the perception of the senses. Okay, so now let's go to the verse recitation. Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu. Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu. Dayam kuruta saukhridam. Dayam kuruta saukhridam. Bhavam asram ummucha. Bhavam asram ummucha. Yaya trushyati adokshajaha. Yaya trushyati adokshajaha. Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu. Dayan kuruta saukhridam. Bhavan asram ummucha. Yaya trushyati adokshajaha. Please. Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu. Dayan kuruta saukhridam. Bhavam asram ummucha. Yaya trushyati adokshajaha. 나얀 그르타 사흐리담 나방 아스람 우무차 예야 투샤티야 덕샤자 Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu Dayam kuruta sahurida Bhavan aslam umucha Yatu shati adoksha cha Tasma sarveshu bhuteshu Dayam kuruta sahuridam Bhavam asuram umbucha Ayatushati ayokshasha Translation. Therefore, my dear young friends born of demons, please act in such a way that the Supreme Lord, who is beyond the conception of material knowledge, will be satisfied. Give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. Show mercy to all living entities by enlightening them in devotional service, thus becoming their well-wishers. Okay. So, would you like to read the purport?
The Lord said in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Bhaktamam Abhijanati Yavan Yas Kashmi Chasmi Tatvata. One can understand the Supreme Personality as He is only by devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj ultimately instructed his class friends, the sons of the demons, to accept the process of devotional service by preaching the science of Krishna consciousness to everyone. Preaching is the best. Where are we? Third line, to service to the Lord. The Lord will immediately be extremely satisfied with one who engages in the service of preaching Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 18:69. Nachas tasman manu shesu kashin me priya kritama. There is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. If one sincerely tries his best to spread Krishna consciousness by preaching the glories of the Lord and His supremacy, even if he is imperfectly educated, he becomes the dearmost servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is bhakti. As one performs this service for humanity without discrimination between friends and enemies, the Lord becomes satisfied and the mission of one's life is fulfilled. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore advised everyone to become a guru devotee and preach Krishna consciousness. Yare deka tare kaha Krishna upadesha. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhva 7.128. That is the easiest way to realize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By such preaching, the preacher becomes satisfied and those to whom he preaches are also satisfied. This is the process of bringing peace and tranquility to the entire world.
Bhaktaram yagatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam kyatvamam shantim rakshati. One who is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord, that He is the Supreme Enjoyer, and that He is the proprietor of everything, and that He is the best well-wisher and friend of everyone. A preacher should personally understand these truths and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. The word sauhridam, friendliness, is very significant in this verse. People are generally ignorant of Krishna consciousness, and therefore to become their best well-wisher, one should teach them about Krishna consciousness without discrimination. Since the Supreme Lord Vishnu is situated in the core of everyone's heart, every body is the temple of Vishnu. One should not misuse this understanding as an excuse for such words as Daridra Narayan. Daridra Narayan. If Narayana lives in the house of a Daridra, a poor man, this does not mean that Narayana becomes poor. He lives everywhere, in the houses of the poor and those of the rich. But in all circumstances, he remains Narayana. To think that he becomes either poor or rich is material calculation. He is always Shat Aishvarya Purna, full in six opulences in all circumstances.
Okay. Thank you very much. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Sharakaya Chakshuram Miritam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Okay, so this is Prahlad Maharaj talking to his classmates, and what is he teaching? Krishna consciousness, exactly. So he's talking to his friends who are also from demon families, respectable demon families, that we should not waste our time by pursuing other things, but we should engage in devotional service. For example, yesterday we covered 761, and today we're covering 7624. But in between 763, he says, for example, Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to the sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress." So one of the points the Prahlad Maharaj is making is that don't pursue your own happiness, so-called happiness. Why? Because sarvatra rapyate daibhat. Okay, so he's saying that the happiness comes from daiva, from destiny. And it's everywhere, sarvatra rapyate. It's obtained sarvatra, everywhere. And an interesting thing he says is yatha dukkham ayatnataha. Just like a suffering comes without we pursuing for it, right? So everyone wants to become happy, but no one pursues distress or unhappiness, right? No one says my goal of life is to suffer, to obtain misery. No one says that. Right? But Prahlad Maharaj here says how much so-called happiness you gain from the aindriyakam sukham, the contact of senses with sense object. So the happiness on the level of bodily platform or even mental platform, right? So how much fame and name you gain, or how much money you gain, and then how much happiness will you derive from these external elements, that's already decided by the destiny. And just like suffering comes whether we want it or not, and then actually indeed we don't want the suffering, but then nonetheless the suffering comes. So in the same way, even if you don't want happiness, the happiness will come. And then that's already fixed. So somebody could be people upstairs. Thank you. So whether you want or don't want, the amount of happiness on the level of the body, on the level of body and mind, they're already fixed. So Prahlad Maharaj's point is that you don't need to make separate endeavor for that. because whether you endeavor for them or not, they will come anyway, okay? So the point is just focus on devotional service and then just accept whatever happiness or suffering which come accordingly, okay? So why Prahlad Maharaj is saying that? Because he is conscious about his father, Hiranyakashipu. So in previous chapter, this description of Hiranyakashipu, who is not satisfied at all with his own situation, even though he became so powerful and he controls entire universe and everyone is under his command, right? So like materially speaking, what more can you ask for? But even then, he's still not happy. And Bhagavatam 7.4.19 says, in spite of achieving the power to control in all directions and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Okay? So the point is that there is no limit in so-called happiness in terms of bodily or mental platform. There is always, you cannot basically satisfy your mind by pursuing this level of happiness. So therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, well, you know, don't think that the pursuing happiness on bodily or mental platform will give you satisfaction. And in this connection, I was remembering that the Jesus also said this. This is from Matthew 16:26, and then this is King James Version translation. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Right. So even if you conquer the entire world, but if you fail to conquer your own heart, and then if you're so engrossed with your senses and sense gratification, then what's the point? Basically, you lost yourself. Okay, so that was what I was kind of thinking as I was reading this section. And also, if you remember the type of education that Prahlad Maharaj was given in his so-called school. What were the names of teachers? Shanda and Amarka. And then they were the son of Shukracharya. And Shukracharya is the spiritual master for the demons, right? So he was a spiritual master for the Hiranyakashipu and other demons. So Shanda and Amarka, they were Shukracharya's sons. So-called teachers in the, so apparently demons also go to school, and what are the subject matter they were teaching in the school? Politics, materialistic life. Specifically, it is described that the Shanda and Amarka was teaching, they were teaching the path of dharma, karma, and artha. Okay, so these are what's called purusha artha, the sort of recognized goals of human life, which are considered worthy of pursuit. So dharma, karma, and artha, and what's missing here? Moksha. And of course, for the for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the bhakti devotional, exactly, the actually fifth goal, so-called fifth goal, is prema, the love of Krishna, love of Godhead is considered the highest, even beyond moksha. But even before going to moksha, there are these three, and we may be surprised that the demons are also taught how to be dharmic. Okay? So how to follow the Dharma. Anekama, of course, is the pursuit of sense gratification, both in subtle and gross ways. Okay? So, I mean, of course, nowadays, in the Western context, the Kama Sutra, and then people think about sex. But then actually, the Kama is not just the, and then actually Kama Sutra is not just about how to enjoy sex. And then actually Kama Sutra is eventually about how, you can give up these, sense gratification in very gross level. And then, actually, the meaning of life is moksha. I mean, actually, that's the ultimate purport of Kama Sutra. So, I guess the way popularly described this is somewhat misleading. But also, Kama also includes the aesthetic beauty, so enjoyment in terms of the art and drama, poetry, this artistic refinement and enjoyment of this artistic refinement is also under the category of Kama. So therefore, it's not just gross sense gratification only. It includes sort of mental appreciation of the aesthetic as well. And then Artha, of course, the pursuit of material prosperity, politics, name and fame, money. So, that's the Artha. But apparently the demons also talk about Dharma. So what is Dharma in this context? Of course, the term Dharma is, many layered, it has many meanings, and depending on context, it has different connotations. But for example, the Mimamsaka tradition in Indian philosophical context, the school of Mimamsa is focusing on the acquisition or the inquiry into the Dharma. Right? So the Atato Dharma Jigyasa, then, therefore, the inquiry into Dharma. So the Mimamsakas are those who are focusing on the inquiry into Dharma. What is Dharma? Okay. So so that's the Atata Dharma Jigyasa. That's the first sutra. But then second sutra says, Chodana Lakshano Arto Dharmaha. Okay. So the Dharma is Chodana Laksha. What is Chodana? Fortune? 14. Maybe in Hindi? I don't know. In 14, how do you say 14 in Hindi? Chodana. Chodana. Chodana in this context. In this context. Yeah, exactly. So, Chodana in this context means order. Like order. You should do this, you should do that. Or you shouldn't do that. Okay, do this. So these do's and don'ts. Okay, so according to Mimamsakas, their main focus is that, of course, they're focusing on the Vedas, but their point is the meaningful points of the Vedas are those sentences which are injunctive. Meaning, the standard example, Svarga Kamo Yajeta, one who desires heaven, should perform sacrifice. Yajeta. So that's the optative form, meaning that you should do this. Or if you want to have sun, then you should do sacrifice. Or if you want to have rain for your agricultural production, then you should do that, this or that sacrifice. Okay? optative. Yeah. And so these are the forms that these people are concerned, and then that's the pursuit of, that's the meaning of dharma in Mimamsa context. So we may describe dharma in this context as a socially acceptable way of pursuing one's own interest. Okay, so if you want heaven, you do this. If you want rain, you do that. Or if you want to destroy your enemy, you do this. Okay, so these are the order, chodana, if you want to attain certain results. So these are the ways in which you can pursue your self-interest within a certain limit, okay, within in a socially acceptable way. So you can perform sacrifice, and you can try to obtain certain results, and that's, I guess you can say, I mean, anyone in a mundane context, you know, if you want to go higher in a company, for example, I mean, these CEOs, they work like dog. I mean, you know, they perform austerity, right? I mean, they're not just like a lazy, you know, bums, you know, sleeping around, but they're just working like 24 hours literally. So even for mundane materialists, if you want to attain some results, you have to perform austerity, right? So that's what Hiranyakashipu did. Hiranyakashipu wanted to revenge Vishnu, or he wanted to conquer the entire universe. So that's the material desire. But then in order to fulfill material desire, he had to also perform austerity. So the austerity is necessary for achieving anything. But the point is, what's the purpose of your austerity? What's the purpose of your penance? What do you try to achieve? And the point is that the dharma, karma, and artha, and then karma and artha is also the pursuit of sense gratification or pursuit of economic prosperity within this context. They also have to be within the realm of dharma. So it has to be socially acceptable. Okay. So the even demons, Shanda and Amaruka, they're not teaching that how to attain sense gratification at the cost of others or by committing crimes, but in normally dharma, karma, artha, they have to be done according to the socially acceptable manner. But the point is that even though you may pursue your goals in respectable manner, so I mean no one accuses you if you perform austerity and then try to climb up the ladder of social hierarchy, no one blames you. Right, I mean, no one become angry if you work, you know, 16 hours a day and then try to go up in your hierarchy in the company. No one becomes angry. That's because, I mean, it's acceptable way. But still, the point is that these are all for your own benefit, right? Like you're doing austerity, thinking, okay, what's in it for me? So dharma, karma, and artha, these pursuits are socially acceptable, but then ultimately they are expression of your selfish desire. What's in it for me, right? And how can I get what I want? So, but the Prahlad Maharaj is saying that, well, you know, just give up that mentality of pursuing your sense gratification. Sukham aindriyakam, the happiness coming from contact of the senses with sense objects. So give up the pursuit of such a selfish, selfishly motivated pursuit. So that's the one message the Prahlad Maharaj is talking about. And then this verse So that was kind of in between the first verse and then the verse 24. So the verse 24, coming back to the verse we read, now Prahlad Maharaj is here talking about the daya, and in Prabhupada translates as mercy. So dayam kuruta saukridam. So kuruta is called imperative form, which is different from optative form. And imperative form, you can say, is even stronger. Yeah, they must, you should. So optative is sort of suggestion. You may do this if you want. But then the imperative is you should. That's order. You have to do this. So kuruta is a second person plural, so that it's addressing second person meaning you. So Prahlad Maharaj talking to the classmates, so you, and it, yeah, it's, and it's plural, so it's all of you. You, the should do dayam, you should be merciful, and saukridam. So saukridam comes from sukhrut. What does fruit mean? Yeah, friend. So saukridam means friendly. It properly translates as friendliness. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying that you should be merciful to everyone, and then also you should be friendly. Why? Why? To please Adokshaja. Yeah, but before that, the tasmat, therefore, sarvesha bhuteshu, for all living entities, dayam kuruta, you should be kind in relation to all living entities, and tasmat, therefore. So why therefore? And that's what's said immediately. Yeah, it's said in the previous verse exactly. So so this is 7.6.24, but then in 7.6.20, so which comes before this verse, Prahlad Maharaj says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, who is infallible and indefatigable, thank you. Yeah, indefatigable, okay. So it's present in different forms of life, from the inert living beings, stavara, such as the plants, to Brahma, the foremost created living being. Okay. So that was the first of this chunk. So basically, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that because living entity, no, the Lord Vishnu is within all living entity, that's why you have to worship. So tasmat, going back to verse 24, the one of the acharyas, the Vijayadvaja, he's the one of the acharyas in the Madhva Sampradaya, and Prabhupada quotes him, so there's no worry about that. So Vijayadvaja says, yata sarva bhutani bhagavan nivasa sthanani. So when Prahlad Maharaj says tasmat, therefore you have to be kind to every living entities, the Vijayadvaja explains that yataha, why? Because all living entities, sarva bhutani, they are the bhagavan nivasa sthanani, they are the abode, the place, sthana, where nivasa, of living of bhagavan nivasa. Okay, so because the living entity are the abodes of Vishnu's, Lord Vishnu abides in living entities. Okay, that's why you have to worship. And the Jiva Goswami also says the tasmat, therefore, sarvesha bhuteshu, with relation to all living entities. Yeah, so sarvesha bhuteshu, all living entities, that means not to atma matra sambandishu. So not only sambandishu, those who are related to you, Atma Matra. Okay, so not just those people who are related to you, meaning your family members and your friends, not just these, but sarva, sarvesh bhuteshu, but all living entities. Dayam kruta, you have to be kind. Bhagavata eva adishtanatvat. Why? Because the living entities are the abode, adishtana, the place of residence of Bhagavata, of the Lord. Okay? So therefore, the Vishnu is not just in your friends or in your families, but the Vishnu lives in, the Vishnu resides in all the living entities. Okay, that's why we have to, that's why Prahlad Maharaj is saying that not just be kind, not just to your related people, but also to enemies. So, love thy enemy, right? So, if you love your friends, what's the point? I mean, anyone can do that. But the real challenge is, can you love your enemy? Love thy enemy. Can you do that? And then can you go beyond this idea of friends and enemies? And then that's what exactly Prabhupada says in the purport, that the preacher of Krishna consciousness should preach going beyond this idea of, oh, these are my friends and then these are my enemies. Okay? You have to preach Krishna consciousness to everyone. So, and then the Prahlad Maharaj says, this is third line of the verse today. Bhavan asram ummucha. So, you should give up ummucha. You should give up the bhavan, the mentality of asram, of asra, demoniac mentality. You should give up demoniac mentality and be kind to everyone. And then again, the Vijayadvaja Acharya says, so asram bhavam means dvesham. What is dvesha? Envy or hatred, you can say. So Prabhupada translates, give up your demoniac nature and act without enmity or duality. So you have to, so giving up the asuric mentality means giving up the enmity or hatred. And then Prabhupada says in purport, so this is after quoting the 529 from Bhagavad Gita, Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam. So after that, Prabhupada says, one is expected to understand these three formulas of knowledge concerning the Supreme Lord, that He is the Supreme Enjoyer, that He is the proprietor of everything, and that He is the best well-wisher and the friend of everyone. Sukhridan sarva bhutanam, right? The friend, Sukhrid. The Lord is the Sukhrid, the friend of sarva bhutanam, all the living entities. So, and then Prabhupada says, a preacher should personally understand this truth and preach them to everyone. Then there will be peace and tranquility all over the world. So I want to focus on this word personally. A preacher should personally understand this truth. So it's, I guess you can say this idea that the Lord lives in every living entity. Maybe we can understand that's a sort of Vaishnava explanation, ontological explanation about why you should love your enemy. Jesus says, love thy enemy. But why? The Vaishnava perspective is that because God is within you. So maybe that's the sort of theoretical, ontological explanation. But the Prabhupada here says we have to understand this personally. And that's more difficult. I mean, anyone can understand the theory. I mean, theoretically, you may accept that the Lord is within everyone, but what does it practically mean? And that's the challenge. Let's see. So that's the challenge. So basically here, Prabhupada is saying that anyone who wishes to preach Krishna consciousness has to overcome the asuric mentality. And the asuric mentality here means hatred or enmity. But think about someone or anyone in your life that you felt angry towards. Or think about someone who you hated as you grew up, or someone who you hate even now. I mean, these are, you see, the story of Prahlad Maharaj is not, you know, some fairy tale from India, from ancient fairy tale of India. It's not just some bedtime story. It's a real story. And in Prahlad Maharaj is telling you, or telling us, I should say, telling us to give up the mentality of hate. But you know, it's not that easy. You know, things happen. So think about the friends who left you. You trusted him or you trusted her, and he or she left. Or he or she betrayed. I mean, you hear all the time that, you know, businessman, you know, had another business partner or business friend, and, you know, then lent some money, and then this so-called friend, you know, left. You know, just disappeared without returning the money, you know, so now he has to return the money on his friend's behalf. You know, I mean, these stories are everywhere. Like, I had a professor, Sanskrit professor, you know, and he just, he, even now, after like 20 years, he still has to pay off, you know, because this friend just disappeared. So how would you deal with that? You know, you gave, you lent money because you trusted him that he borrowed money from me, but then he, of course, he said he would return. So that's why I lend you money, but then now you disappeared. So how do you deal with that? Or the teacher. You trusted your teacher, but then maybe teacher did you something. Or in Krishna consciousness, in ISKCON context, many spiritual masters, so-called spiritual masters, fell down. So that's a very painful event. So if your spiritual master falls down, how are you going to deal with that? You trusted your spiritual master. You sacrificed for him. You gave your time and money, your personal effort. And you sacrifice all that, and then now the guru falls down. So how are you gonna deal with that? And I mean, this happened, and many people actually still have difficulty dealing with this. I mean, many devotees, like for example in Europe, like, you know, Hari Keswami left, and then, you know, many people are his disciples, and even now some people have anger and confusion. So how do you deal with this? Or if your parents abused you physically, or, you know, verbally or mentally, your parents who were supposed to be taking care of you abused you in some ways, then how do you deal with that? And then actually many people have this sort of problem, and then they suppress to such an extent that they don't, after some time, they don't even recognize, but then, you know, that internal anger is still there. Or think about like ex-boyfriend or girlfriend who dumped you, or like ex-wife or ex-husband. Then how do you deal with this? Or think about your children, like, you know, the parents sacrifice so much time, so much effort, and then eventually your children betrays your expectation, right? So how do you deal with that? So these are, you know, everyday event, and it's not just the some theoretical issues there. And then if you think about the more sort of social context, this hatred, I don't want to promote this negative picture, but it's just a fact that hatred is everywhere. I mean, think about, have you watched this movie called American History X? Yeah, I just watched like recently, and it's about the white, young white guy, American guy, you know, joining neo-Nazi movement and then blaming that anything, all the problem in this American society is because of non-white people, you know, the blacks and Hispanics and Asians. Because of these people, the problem happens, right? Or think about, and everyone knows Malcolm X, and he was initially joining the Nation of Islam, and the Nation of Islam, I mean, they still exist, right? And then they, the Nation of Islam, what's their teaching? Yeah, Nation of Islam. So that's a, how do you say? Well, they claim to be Islam, but I don't think Orthodox Islam tradition would recognize them as Orthodox, but it's a sort of, they claim to be Islam who literally they teach that white people are demoniac. Well, they don't say demoniac. Well, basically they say the white people are demons. I mean, that's the doctrine of Nation of Islam. And then they teach that the God is black. And white people, what's that? Yeah, they got that point right. Yeah, but they engage in this extreme discourse in hatred, and then that's what Malcolm X was initially affiliated to. Eventually, he gave up the connection, but then that was his discourse. Or think about this Hindu Muslim attention. I mean, since in modern times, since partition, particularly the partition of India and Pakistan, and what happened in this process. I mean, the millions of people died in the process, right, because of communal riots, and that happens. That hatred even lives now. That it just, as late as September, end of September, there was this the court verdict on the Ayodhya case, right? This the destruction of the mosque in Ayodhya, right? So this basically this mosque was built under the Babur, who was the founder of Mughal Empire. In 1500, so 1527, the one of the general under the Babur, he destroyed the temple in Ayodhya, and then built the mosque. So it's called the Mosque of Babur, Babri Masjid, the Mosque of Babur. And then now after more than 400 years later, the Hindu mobs, they now go up and then destroy this mosque in Ayodhya, right? So now the conflict is, okay, how to divide this land? So and that even happens now, and then Muslims and Hindus, I don't want to say everyone, but then the tension is definitely there, at least with among some people, right? Or think about, like in my case, I was thinking like what would be, like for me, what would be the like a real issue that I have, like I may have like a real tension, you know, in these sort of lines, then like atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? The Japan in America. The America dropped bombs. And as even though so many experiments are done since then, but then still, even to this day, the Hiroshima and Nagasaki's are the only two cases where these bombs, atomic bombs, were used as a part of war, okay, as a part of deliberate intention to destroy other nation. Hiroshima and Nagasaki is the only two examples, right? What's that? But I'm talking about the atomic bomb, okay? I mean, of course, there are, you know, other shooting going on, you know, but the point is the point of atomic bomb is, in terms of size, there is nothing comparable to atomic bomb. But then also, the point is it's indiscriminate, okay? So the lay people, the non-militant people, were also part of a big part of the victim, you know. Whereas many other war pursuit, of course, in modern days, it's not so clear. But then, at least theoretically speaking, even modern days, theoretically speaking, the civic people should not be involved, at least in theory, right? But then atomic bomb, I mean, it's obviously, it was dropped on the city, and then just the whole entire city was, you know, wiped out. So, you know, how do I deal with that? So that's, you know, so hatred is everywhere. But my Guru Maharaj says the maintaining hatred is like a drinking poison. So the point is that these things may happen, and you may as well become angry and hate other people, but hatred doesn't solve anything. And then actually hatred just harms you. And then it's actually scientifically there was some the experiment that there was this like these small worms, which is like before becoming like a mosquito, you know, this like a small, what's that? Nava? Okay. this small worm, so they're living in the water, right? So they did some experiment, and basically they artificially caused some people to become like really, really angry, okay? And then they asked these angry people to breathe in into the plastic bag where these small worms are swimming, okay? And then actually these worms, they die when they were exposed to the breath, which was from this angry people, okay? So actually, when you become angry, it's not just your emotional reaction, but it has actual physical reaction, and it actually literally produces poison, okay? So so the hatred, it's not only not solving anything, but then also it's harmful to you. Okay, so you're just harming yourself. So just give up the hatred, okay? And then if you think about Prahlad Maharaj, that's how he dealt with. What did Hiranyakashipu and his teacher did to Prahlad? They tortured, right? They throw him from the cliff, they put him into the cave with snakes. Right, they dragged the elephant and then, you know, tried to make elephant trample on him, right? So he They were doing all kinds of things to torture Prahlad. So, but what did he do? I mean, did Prahlad Maharaj organize the rebellion armies and then attack Hiranyakashipu? No, right? He was just absorbed in meditation on Vishnu. So he was just peaceful and he didn't retaliate against Hiranyakashipu.